to me, God has made it possible for every Christian to live a supernatural lifestyle.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant begins the final message in his series on the Beatitudes of Matthew chapter 5. This is where, early in his earthly ministry, Jesus laid out in statute form those principles of discipleship that would guarantee a blessed life. We trust this series has been a blessing to our listeners, and we invite you to listen with us now as Pastor Grant takes us through the last three of the eight blessings. Here is Pastor Grant with the first part of How Can I Discover and Live a Blessed Life, Part 3.
On April the 21st, 1519, the Spanish explorer Hernando Cortes sailed into Veracruz, Mexico. He brought with him when he, on that expedition, only 600 men. But in the next 2 years, his vastly outnumbered army defeated all the warriors of the Aztec Empire, making Cortes the conqueror of all Mexico. Can you imagine that? That this man, Cortes, and his 600 men had defeated tens of thousands of Aztec warriors and taken control of a country of over 760,000 square miles. Just imagine that. 600 men had taken control of a country of over 760,000 square miles and now regarded as the 13th largest country in the world. So how in the world did 600 men achieve this amazing success against such incredible odds? Here's how. Cortes knew that when his men faced intense opposition, they would be tempted to what? To quit and try to return home to the comforts of Spain. So as soon as they landed in Mexico and all the ships were unloaded, Cortes ordered his men to set the entire fleet of 11 ships on fire. Cortes had eliminated their only means of retreat. To survive, they would have to keep moving forward. My brother and sister, there's a very important lesson in that story for every Christian. For as some of us have discovered, the Christian life is not always an easy road. Am I right about that? And when we face challenges, instead of pulling back, we need to press forward and pursue God's purposes for our lives. Amen. Young people, older folks, listen, there's some here perhaps and listening to me who, because of pressures, you have started to pull back. But God is saying to you today, there is no turning back. Keep pressing forward. Keep moving forward by faith. Amen. Like Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to that which lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so we need to ask ourselves, am I pressing forward with God, or am I allowing the life's challenges to discourage me? In Romans chapter 8, verse 37, we're reminded, listen good, Romans 8, 37 reminds us that we are what? We are more than, help me somebody, we are more than conquerors, amen? Oh, sometimes we don't act like it. But the Bible tells us, God tells us in Romans 8, 37, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. Listen to me. God has made it possible for every Christian to live a supernatural life. well. Please don't miss that. When we are cowering, don't forget that we are more than conquerors and that God has made it possible for us to live a supernatural lifestyle. And so today, as we conclude our three-part series on the Beatitudes, I trust God will challenge us to burn our ships. Amen? Amen. To burn our ships and get rid of everything and anything that is holding us back from totally pursuing the will of God. Amen? Write this in your notes. The Beatitudes provide a description of the ideal disciple and describe God's perspective on the blessed and supernatural lifestyle he has made available to every believer. Say that with me. The Beatitudes, come on now. It's right there in front of you. The Beatitudes provide a description of the ideal disciple and describe God's perspective on the blessed and supernatural lifestyle he has made available to every believer. And although the standards described in the Beatitudes are impossible to achieve in our own strength, we can write that down. They are impossible to achieve in our own strength. You can change the, but through the power of this indwelling Spirit of God, they are what? Impossible. They are impossible. Make no mistake, maintaining the standards of these eight Beatitudes is only possible in God's strength. They are only possible in Him. Amen. But with Jesus, we can make it. Oh, anybody remember that song? With Jesus, we can make it, for we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Amen. In the last couple of messages, we covered five of the eight Beatitudes. So let me quickly remind you of what we have covered so far. Beatitude number one says, blessed are the poor in spirit, those willing to acknowledge their spiritual bankruptcy, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, it's no surprise Jesus started here, for it's impossible to get to heaven until we acknowledge how spiritually bankrupt we are in God's sight. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But thank God, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse us from all sin. Amen. I'm so glad that it's such a joy to be a preacher of the gospel, because the gospel gives hope to the hopeless. The gospel gives hope to the person whose life has been totally destroyed by sin. Listen, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And Romans 3:23 tells us, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But despite that fact, thank God for the blood of Jesus. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, what can cleanse us from every sin? And if you're here this morning and you have never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if the blood has never been applied to your heart and your life, do it this morning. Invite the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life and to change you and to transform you, and He will do just that. You say, Pastor Brian, you don't realize where I'm coming from. You don't know my past. You don't know my history. Listen, we don't need to know your history. God knows your history. And the God who knows your history also knows your future. Amen. He knows your past and He knows your future, and He knows exactly the difference He can make in your life if you will submit your life to Him and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. And perhaps you're a Christian and you're sort of sitting on the bench. You know, sometimes we're a Christian and we miss out what we have in Jesus. Not every Christian has fully come to grasp all we have in Jesus. They're still out there scratching in the old beggarly elements of the world, and they're missing, you know, picking up crumbs outside. When there's bread in the house of God, amen, picking up crumbs. And if you're here this morning and you're one of those who's scratching around for crumbs, oh, I encourage you, give your all to Jesus today, amen. Beatitude number one, I said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Beatitude number two, blessed are those who mourn, those who are truly grieved about their sin, for they shall be comforted. And no matter how far we've gone, when we repent, God's grace will flood our soul. Beatitude number three, blessed are the meek. The meek, those who have placed their power and strength under God's control. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Beatitude number four, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those who are passionate about progressing in their walk with Christ. Young person, you're still awake? He thinks he's a young person. Are you, listen, here's the question. Are you passionate about progressing? Oh, come on now. Too often we are satisfied, but we should never be satisfied, because God has so much more for us. And the Bible, God is telling us, blessed are the meek. Then it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. They will be filled. Hallelujah. Beatitude number five, blessed are the merciful, those willing to forgive those who wrong them and to show compassion to those in need, for they shall obtain mercy. Those are the five we have covered. And today we want to finish by giving the final three as we wrap up this series. Beatitude number six. Add this to your notes. Matthew chapter 5 verse 8 tells us this. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The Greek word that's translated pure in verse 8 is the word katharos, which has two meanings. The Greek word used for pure means clean, but it also means unmixed. So write this down. The pure in heart are devoted to seeking God and yielded to his ways. Write that down. The pure in heart are devoted to seeking God and yielding to his ways. The pure in heart are all for Jesus. Amen? The pure in heart are all for Jesus. Are you all for Jesus? Turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'm going to read from verses 3 to 8. For this is the will of God, the apostle writes, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. The church was having problems then, and it's still having problems today in this area. Am I right about that? For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Just because we're saved does not mean we automatically have a pure or unmixed heart. For although they were saved, the in the church in Thessalonica, sexual immorality was rampant in the church. And so the question is, do I have a pure heart? Do we have a pure heart? I've heard people say that once we are saved, it's okay to sin, for we'll still get to heaven. Have you ever heard that theory? You better believe it's more common than you think. Oh, since once you're saved, you're always saved, we can sin and we can get to heaven. The only problem sometimes a person who has that mindset, the reason they have that mindset is because they're probably not really saved. But if you find yourself thinking that way, as I said, you better make sure you're really saved. For repentance is an essential ingredient of salvation. Some preachers will preach the gospel of salvation without talking about repentance. But repentance is essential. And repentance means turning from sin. Amen? You see, I can't get saved by just saying, God, you know who I am, come into my heart. There has got to be repentance. There has got to be a desire where I'm turning from sin. And I recognize the only way I can turn from sin is because God has to help me. But I have that desire and I'm saying to God, oh God, help me as I turn from my sin and I turn to you. And so, my friend, the big question we better ask ourselves this morning, are you sure you have repented? Because if you have never repented and turned from sin, you are not really saved. You can say the sinner's prayer as many times as you want to. You cannot be saved without true repentance. Have you repented? Is there a time in your life when you can recall saying, I'm turning from sin and God help me? Perhaps there's somebody here who have been walking around thinking you're a Christian all along and you need to come to Jesus today. Although you may be baptized, listen, if you have never repented, you just went down a dry sinner and came up a wet sinner. Many of those in the church at Thessalonica were not pure in heart, for they were not devoted to seeking God and yielding to his ways. Add this to your notes. The pure in heart desire to be holy in heart. They seek to honor God not only in the areas that are open to public view, but in the areas of their life that's hidden from public view as well. You see, because God has access to all the things we read and all the things we watch in secret. So let me ask you, based on the fact that God knows everything, what is he saying about you? Does he say you're pure in heart? So we may think you're pure in heart because we don't know everything you're doing. But since he knows what I am doing, what you're doing, does God, are we pure in heart? Is there work that you need to do? Is there some action you need to take today? If so, I trust you'll do that. You know, for years, we sprayed a lot of our food with pesticides. But now that we've discovered that's not good for us, many families are switching to places like what? Whole Foods. I don't even know the others, but I know folks are going to Whole Foods, you know, where they can get organic stuff that is supposedly not contaminated with some of these other pesticides and all this other stuff. But there's a much bigger contamination going on that's impacting us. For Satan is seeking to contaminate our hearts and those in our family. Parents, be on guard. Parents who are missing in action. There are too many parents missing in action. Too many parents who have no involvement with their children. And to get a sense as to what these children are watching and being involved with. And Satan is doing all he can to destroy our souls and the souls of our children. And he's using one of the main tools today is the electronic media. Now, as a result of this, some parents are in panic mode. But I just want you to know this morning, I'm not saying this to get you to panic. In fact, I'm here to encourage you as a believer in Jesus Christ. We don't have to panic. Can I get an amen on that? For the same God who can keep fish fresh in the salty ocean can keep us and our families clean in this dirty world. Can anybody believe that? Can God do it? We don't have to panic. But we need to be totally committed to Him. Amen. We need to be totally committed. We must be vigilant. We need to become more engaged with our children. Don't just let the kids raise themselves. Spend time with the kids. Be involved with your children. Too many parents find it boring and tiring to spend time with their children. It's so funny. We're in Jamaica. Tell you this story. I may have told you this before. Just popped into my mind. Here I was in Jamaica. We're on this incredible beach in Montego Bay called Doctor's Cave Beach. And our hotel was right on the beach. And I was speaking. All these people were around, and so we started chatting. And I said, you know, as a child, we came here often. They said, "What? Where did you live?" Well, I said, "We lived in Kingston." I said, "My dad, you would bring us here to Doctor's Cave Beach. In those days, it would take us 4 hours to get there, 4 hours to get there, 4 hours to go home." And I used to say, "This is a crazy idea." Because we got there, it took so long to get there. In an hour and a half, 2 hours, we were there. My dad says, "Time to go." And we're like, "We just got here." My brother is here. And it was after a while it dawned on me what was up. You see, my dad recognized that one way to get the whole family bonded and connected was to do all the stuff together. 4 hours in the car one way, 4 hours in the car the other way. Listen, there was fighting going on the back seat. He can tell you, we sorted out all the world's problems in a nice punch out. But do you realize how much impact was being made on our lives in some of the discussions, some of the things my dad and mom may say to us that we have never ever forgotten, all the lessons we learned. Are you with me this morning? Listen, parents, listen, this idea of let the kids do what they want to do and we do what we want is for the birds. Somebody can say amen to that.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.